are you happy today? We got something that we have never seen in my generation happen, which is pretty awesome. Roe v. Wade being overturned. Never should have been there in the first place. Then we just got to be mindful that we don't cause division even when it comes to that as well, too, because sometimes people will, well, if you're not posting this, then you're not. That doesn't mean anything. I said, even though you get a victory, now people want to go right to the division. That's not where we go. The enemy wants to divide. The body of Christ unites. Enemy divides. Okay? So we just got to make sure. It's like I seen Kobe Bryant, if y'all know Kobe Bryant. I'm an avid basketball fan and stuff. And he had said, you know, it was in the finals and he was up, you know, 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. And he goes, the reporter's like, you don't look happy. He goes, what's to be happy about? He goes, job's not finished. See, we still got another election. Job's not finished. Still some time to go. Because you know the enemy is going to do everything they can in order to keep it from happening. So just continue to stand praying. He's going to want to try to divide. People are going to start trying to fight and argue and bicker and doing all this on social media. Leave that alone. I was at the camp meeting this week in Topeka. And Pastor Scott Webb is a good preacher. And then they had Joseph Morris, who's great on end time stuff. And but I was sitting in a room. We were waiting to go out on a platform. Or I guess not on a platform, to go sit down. Worship was getting ready to start. So I was sitting with the, you know, just backstage with the crew, you know, feeling special, VIP. And he says, what's the Lord saying to you today? I said, kind of hesitated a little bit, and I said, you know, what is he telling you? I said, dominate, don't compete. See, when we start competing, I already said this before, I said, you start being petty. You start using petty things, petty annoyances, and you just are constantly just trying to wear people down with your pettiness so that you can get what they have. You're coveting. In the body of Christ, people are so petty at times because they choose to yield to the flesh rather than walk in the spirit. So when you're dominating, you're actually walking in the spirit. None of that stuff. Religious leaders, petty. Oh, Pastor Tim, you don't like competing? I'm probably your biggest competitor. But the thing about it is, I don't cheat. I don't need to cheat in order to win. I don't need to go and slander somebody's name in order to win. I don't need to go and stir up drama in order to win. I don't need to sow strife in order to win. I don't need to do all the ungodly things in order to win. For God to open up a door for me, I don't need to do all of that. I walk in His fullness and His glory and His blessing. Petty people don't. And he's like, okay. Now, I didn't say all of that, but I'm just saying, dominate. Dominate. So it doesn't matter what anybody is saying to you. You still dominate. You just let it go off your back, water off a duck's back. Dominate. Proverbs 18:21. You got that scripture? You open up your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 18:21. This message is called Seeds of Life or Seeds of Death. It says, words kill. Ain't that true? It's important to speak life over your life. Okay? People may think, oh, you're rehearsing a hurt. Now, I heard this, what was said is, you know, hurt people will hurt people. We know that, right? Then it says, you know, if you just continue to rehearse that hurt, you begin to hurt yourself. You don't have the confidence. You won't have the power to go out there and walk in authority that Jesus has given you. You begin to hurt yourself when you begin to repeat it. So if you're going to say something, speak words that have life. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Every single day, you choose that. Some people give themselves pep talks. I prophesy over myself. I speak over myself all the time. I sometimes will have a message that the Lord puts on my heart that 5 months, 6 months down the road, I'm ready to preach it. But see, when the enemy tries to get a part of that story, which sometimes they do, which I don't care because I'm living to dominate, not to compete. Well, he's still rehearsing stuff. No, I'm not. If I'm rehearsing anything, it's the Word of God. How would you know? Because they like telling stories. They like Matthew. Turn to Matthew. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew. Matthew 12. Jesus says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. This is Jesus calling these Pharisees, these religious leaders, vipers. Is that not a nice thing to say? If you call somebody a viper, you think they would take it wrong today? Probably. You hear so-and-so, you hear Kyler, man, Kyler, call me a viper, call me a snake. Well, were you? Was that the ring? Y'all hear that? Yeah, the ring chime right there. Okay. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Everyone will have to give an account for everything you say. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. These religious leaders were trying to say that Jesus casted out demons. If you read a little above that, before that, he was trying to cast out demons. And they were saying it was because of Beelzebub that he's able to cast out demons. That's silly. He said a house divided against itself cannot stand. They were ignorant. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew where they were coming from. They were just being petty. They didn't understand it. Now all they had to do was say and ask, how are you able to do it? But they're trying to control the narrative and saying, it's because of this. How many times have people spoken things over your life and they never even asked you the question? Many a times, right? He called them vipers. The enemy is not going to like you taking authority over them. So when you do, he may go around acting as if you badmouth them, but in reality, you just put them in check. Enemy doesn't like when you put them in check. Doesn't like it when you speak authority over them. Sometimes religious people don't like it. They don't like seeing you operating in the authority of Christ. So they'll do everything they can to keep you from operating in that power. They'll set up obstacles. They'll talk to people. They'll slander your name. They'll sow discord. They will gossip about you. They'll do all the things that they know they shouldn't do. But all they have to do is just ask a simple question. How is it that you're able to do this? How is it that you're able to do that? Why are you so confident? Oh, he's just arrogant. Have you sat down and just talked with him? Do you know where he's been? Do you know what she's gone through? Do you know what God has taken him through? Well, no. So why do you think he's arrogant? Oh, it's because you've been trying to do stuff to them. And they rebuked you. Got it. Can you think about it? What would Jesus look through the lens of how the Gospels would read through the lens of a Pharisee? He wouldn't look good. He looked like a drunkard, a glutton. He looked like somebody who would blaspheme all over the place. See, through the eyes, the lens of the enemy, you're not ever going to look good. Ever. You can curse the spirit that is in a person and begin to speak life over them. And there are some messed up things that is in people. And the word says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have to understand our fight ain't with each other. But yet, when you see on social media, it is. Our fight isn't with each other. It's the principalities that's behind it. It's the enemy that is behind it. I understand that, Pastor Tim. But, you know, sometimes I just want to knock somebody out. I'm right there with you. Sometimes the flesh wants what the flesh wants. But see, that's not the direction we go. We dominate. We walk in the spirit. When they're walking in evil, we walk in love. That's hard to do. But you don't do it alone. You do it with God. And you do it with the people that God has put around you. So it's important for you to get the right people, to get the right crew, to get the right circle that can stand on the word of God with you, as opposed to being behind the scenes and being a Judas. I'm fed up with seeing leaders creating. We're supposed to be making disciples, and the only disciples they're patterning their disciples after are Judases, not Jesus. God has created you to be just like Jesus, not Judas. Even though when Judas was here, he walked a little bit like Jesus. Y'all know about a man named Dub Dub in the Bible? You ever heard of Dub Dub? I talked about him before. Dub Dub? Never heard of him. It's a nickname I gave him. Proverbs 6:12. Old Dub Dub. Worthless and wicked. Dub Dub. Y'all get it now? Starts with W. What are worthless and wicked people like? They are constant liars. They can't tell the truth. Whether it's embellishing or whether it's exaggerating, they can't tell the truth to save their life. It's hard for them. Dub Dub. Signaling their deceit with the wink of an eye, nudge of the foot, or wiggle of the fingers, says their perverted hearts plot evil. And they constantly stir up trouble. Here's the thing. If you believe you have a call in the ministry and anything else, and all you want to do is stir up trouble in people's lives, ministry ain't your job. If all you ever want to do is stir up strife and contention, strife is just basically contention and rivalry between people, and that's all you want to do, what you're doing is not your job. What you should be doing is being a boxing promoter or something. You want to see people fight, might as well get paid for it. Well, I just like to mess with people and stuff. I said, you're going to mess with the wrong person. Listen, I used to grow up with friends, and we were just mixed. It's just multicultural. Every nation, every nationality there in our group. It's pretty cool. And we bagged on each other all the time. We had black jokes, white jokes, Asian jokes, Mexican jokes. We had every joke for everybody, and it was good. I wouldn't say good, but it was just everybody else jawing at each other. But the thing about it is, can you go back to that scripture, please? When you're stirring up trouble, you get to the place to where you're trying to stop what God wants to do in your life, in their life. And sometimes that's what we ended up doing, unbeknownst to us, because we didn't know. I just want to stir up. Well, they need to be in this. They need to be in that. They need to face some confrontation. Let that happen naturally. That's going to happen. Teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord, and they will get all the opposition that they can get. But when you have to try to control the whole narrative, all you're just doing is being a puppet master. And that's what some people like. Here's the thing. Go to the next. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. There are six things, when we talked about this last week, six things that the Lord hates, seven things that he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. Look at there. Didn't I say three out of the seven is dealing with your mouth? This is the word series, not the world series, the word series. Point, to be precise, 0.428%, almost 43% of that is dealing with your tongue. And hands that kill the innocent. Now, we refer that to the babies and abortions and stuff like that, too. Right along with it, is one worse than the other? A lying tongue and hands that kill the innocent. Right there together. But sometimes we value one more than the other. And it's, to God's eyes, it's all the same. And then there's the seventh, that is an abomination, which is sowing discord among the brethren, among the family. Keep going. A heart that plots evil. See, that's dub-dub right there. I mean, feet that race to do wrong. That's people who will go out after somebody plotted evil and go out and do what dub-dub wants them to do. A false witness. Listen, nobody in here. Nobody in here. You're all good. By God. Don't get condemned over that. There's conviction there. A false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Revelations 2. Says, and to the angel of Thyatira, to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality. Now, people just think it's just a sexual thing. I'm going to let you know it's about 20%, because that's about the last thing you will ever find out. Unless they're just going around like some type of a horn dog. And then trying to push themselves up on other women. I think I've seen videos where I think it was a woman who was doing this. Oh, well, you know, I need to sleep with you in order to get that demon out. No! That's a clear-cut indication that that's not the right thing. That's not from God. Run from that. Sexual immorality is translated here, spiritual fornication. And spiritual fornication is the equivalent of idolatry. So any sin that you commit within that, that you make an idol in your life, it could be lying, it could be sowing discord, it could be pornography, it could be gossip, it could be spreading rumors, it could be drinking excessively, it could be, well, you pick your poison. The thing about it is you're being seduced when it comes to that. And he says, and eats things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to you each according to your works. Have you ran into a Jezebel spirit? Yeah. Two men. Narcissistic is I don't know what. Narcissism and Jezebel is the same thing. Same characteristics. The Lord already showed me that. Several years back, two of them trying to destroy my life. Same two men trying to stop me from doing an interview about racism in the church. If you put them both together, I kid you not, they look like Oscar and Felix from The Odd Couple. I kid you not. One of them's really sloppy, the other one's neat. Shorter. Still love them both, but I'm not going to allow them to do what they want to do in my life. Says this. See, when people talk about Jezebel, they never talk about their eunuchs or the narcissist flying monkeys. They basically, have you ever seen Dorothy, Wizard of Oz? They torment people. So those eunuchs will just basically torment other people. They will gaslight. Remember, gaslighting is just a form of psychological manipulation where a person or a group of persons covertly sow seeds of doubt in a targeted individual, which causes cognitive dissonance. So basically, they're sowing death into you. And the harvest of that is basically anxiety or fear. If you allow those seeds to be sown into you and you never take authority over them, it will turn into anxiety or fear into you. And this is when the person operating in that spirit will come in and try to intimidate in order to control and dominate, which we know is witchcraft. That happened to you? Yep. Had about 20 to 30 people coming at me because they work in different bunch. And here's the thing. This is the crazy part, because they actually think they need more supply in order to feel energized and feel alive. The more people that they get to just willfully go out and do what they want them to do at the drop of a dime, they feel empowered. They actually feel like they're God, like they're untouchable. But they're a zero with the brim knocked off because, again, they choose a losing team. When you choose the side of Satan and not the kingdom of God, you're going to lose every time. Even when you think you win, you still lose. And even when you're in the kingdom of God and you feel like you're losing, you still win. I like those odds. This is what, anybody know John Paul Jackson? John Paul Jackson is somebody who studied. He passed away in about 2015. But if you ever listen to Joni's Table talk, y'all ever listen to it, you can get on there, John Paul Jackson, Jezebel Spirit. This is what he says here. This is crazy. He says, I'm asking the Jezebel spirit, says not to kill the gifted in this understanding of what's going on with the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit is about somebody who takes the strength that God has given them and misuses it to harm other people and to gain prominence, to gain position, to gain authority at the expense of other people's lives, perhaps at the expense of other people's calling and other people's anointing and at the expense of other people's emotions. Jezebel most times operate in a woman, but it can be in a man. But man cannot live with that spirit for very long. Literally, it causes heart issues, heart problems, heart attacks, and various heart ailments that they place in a man. So when they think that they can live forever, they will have heart issues. Guess what? Both of them had heart issues. I think I was spot on with that and what the Lord showed me. Well, Pastor Tim, you take medicine for your heart. I said, yeah, that's because of the medicine they put in me. But I'm healed. We're healed. Now, here's the thing. Is it really worth operating in that in order to get what you want? To covet, to destroy, to steal, slander, and get everything you want in this lifetime, to forfeit what God has freely given you. It's not worth it. It's not even worth being that. How do I know I'm being used as a flying monkey, Pastor Tim? I mean, how do you know? I said, this is how you know. When you're sitting around people and you got other people going off of a script and you're the target and they're the target. Let's say Kyla's the target. And everybody around here is talking, and they're just, it's kind of like an inside joke, but it's targeted towards Kyler. That's how you know, but somebody else told you to say it. That's how you know you're being used as a flying monkey or a eunuch. They will recruit in order to go after their target. And they don't care how many people they use. If they can send people around the clock, they'll do it. If they can sever every relationship in your life and then put the people they want around you to do what? To control you. Control the information. To gaslight you. To tell them everything that's going on so they can work up some type of a scheme in order to stop what you're doing. I'm telling you right now, everyone in here, you all have a greater purpose in life than being somebody's flying monkey. And now, you know, when they got to the wizard, was a wizard this big old mighty person? Was he? Wasn't he some little midget or something like that or something? Excuse that word. But he's just, I mean, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't as big as the people thought he was. And see, and that's kind of like how the enemy is. If you realize that in the spirit, the enemy is just a little punk, but he stirs up so much junk. And people get so tired because the gaslighting will get you into fear, and fear will paralyze you to where you won't respond, to where you won't be bold, to where you won't stand up for your faith, to where you won't show who Jesus is in your life. They get you. And then they beat you down. And I'm going to let you know, no one on the face of this planet who is operating in a demonic spirit has authority over anyone in here that has given their life to Jesus Christ. No one. I don't care what their position is. And guess what? They go, if you go off on them, they're going to talk about you anyway. If you don't say anything, they're going to talk about you anyway. So you might as well stand up for your faith. I went off on somebody trying to mess with my marriage. Don't care. I'll do it again if you do it again. Well, that's not very Christ-like. Jesus fashioned a cord, Mark 11. When the leading priests and the teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, I said, go back. Did I give you a different one? Jesus fashioned a cord in John 2. Sorry, I didn't give you that one. But in John 2, Jesus made a whip and drove him out of the temple. You make a whip. It doesn't take very long. I'm getting ready to get these guys here. He's taking his time making this whip, and then he took it and drove him out. He didn't think twice about it. Well, that wasn't very Christ-like. He is Christ. It says, when the leading priest, and this is how you know that your heart is not in the right place. When the priests and teachers of the religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning on how to kill him. They began planning on how to destroy his life. They began planning on how to destroy his credibility. They began plans to how to monitor them. They began plans. I said, literally, I got people listening on my phone calls. Well, how do you know? Because I tested. I only talk to one person. And then that gets out. They don't talk to anybody. Literally. Do I care? No, I just say the truth. I say he's a blankety blank. No, it's not. Seriously though, and the thing about it, they don't think that I know, but I know this person did it years ago, and I'm gonna let them know I love you and I don't have anything against you. And if you don't think that I know it, but here's it is right here. But let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. That's something he said to me in the little meal that we had, trying to go at me, but at the same time, he was trying to figure out what I was doing, where I was living. 2 weeks after I met this man, my garage is broken into. 2 weeks. I wouldn't say broken into. It looked like somebody was trying to shimmy it up. But they were asking where I live within 10 minutes. First time talking with him, he asked where I live within 10 minutes. Who does that? Well, it just could be a racial thing. I don't care. It's an enemy thing. And they're being told by the wrong person. But you know what? I still love you. If you go in there, clean my garage out for me. Take some stuff off our hands, please. Some people may not like this message. But I'm letting you know, you don't have to yield to people who are choosing to do something that God never called them to do and God never called you to do. And they actually try to get me to do stuff. They'll say stuff to me. I don't respond to it because they want me to go at this person here. No. But you know what they do? They take you on a smear campaign in every which way. I don't care. Been there, done that. They do it again, they're going to get the fivefold ministry. James 4:7. This is where they need to go. Submit, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, if they would actually do that, we talked about this last week, about men, wars. Where does wars come from? They come from within. So when we wage war against one another, when we're submitted to God, that will never, ever happen. But when we're submitted to the devil, we will cause destruction in other people's lives. James 4, 1 through 8. You can read out there. Verse 8. Come close to God and come. God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. When we are fully submitted to God, we won't ever have to wage war against our brother or sister. We're on the same team. Why are we trying to hurt each other? Now, I grew up with brothers, and we actually did try to hurt each other. That happens naturally. I said, but this stuff is planned. It's okay for once in a while for you know, a person may have a different opinion or idea or what interpretation of the scripture, and you're talking about it. But it's another thing when it's planned, because God knows, Jesus knows the heart and mind of people, the deceitfulness in that. Jesus says, I am he who searches the minds and hearts. If you aren't sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you can get caught up in what others who walk in this say and do, because they will use you for their own agenda. So what do? Small minds will discuss people. Average minds will discuss events. Great minds will discuss ideas. And sometimes if you want to grow, you're going to have to get up from the table. Think about it. I'd rather sit around a table, a group of men discussing ideas rather than discussing what somebody else said or having a gaslight and all that other stuff. God will prepare a table before me. Before the presence of my enemy, he'll do, I said, I'd rather be there. Why? What are we going to do to help this community? What are we going to do to help our church? What are we going to do to help people in our lives? That's what I want to talk about. But see, the narcissist or Jezebel want you talking about petty things, keep you distracted. And it's unfortunate that you get gullible people that will yield to that. And I'm telling you, you're not gullible in here. You got a call on your life. Stand up. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Psalm 23:1-6 says this. The Lord is my shepherd. We know this. One of the most verse scriptures in the Bible. I have all that I need. This is a New Living Translation. So it might sound a little bit different because, you know, you're used to the King James Version. If the Lord is truly your shepherd, then you would never have to covet anything from anyone else. But if Satan is your shepherd, or if you are your own shepherd, then you will look for ways to get what you want from others. He's not truly your shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing else that you would need from others. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. When God gives you rest, it's true rest. He will spiritually take you to a place where you can be refreshed, restored, and renewed. Only the Lord can do that. God can give you true rest. And you find that out in Matthew 11:28 when Jesus is talking about that. Are you burnt out? God is the one who gives us true rest, and he leads you. He guides you. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Sometimes sheep may wander off. But God's sheep have that spiritual navigation device. If we wander off, he has a way of bringing us back to his word and to get us on the right path for our destiny. Even when I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Other versions will say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, who in here is afraid of shadows? It didn't say, I walk through the valley of death. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. It's a shadow. You have someone greater living on the inside of you. We shouldn't be afraid of shadows. It says, your rod and your staff. If you ever looked at the shepherd's staff, or their crook is what they call it, the long stick part is basically used for fending off dangerous animals that comes to steal the sheep. They can use that and whip some tail with it, run them off. But the hook is there to kind of help pull them back, keep them away from danger. Your staff, your rod and your staff, it protects me, it comforts me. So sometimes the good shepherd will help. Hey, you don't need to go there. You don't need to sit at the table. Come on up. You don't need to go to that nightclub tonight. No. But Pastor, I want to get my boogie on. Come on. We can two-step in church. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. He prepares a table before the presence of your enemy. Everyone has enemies. If you don't have an enemy, then you might want to reevaluate how you look to people. Is Jesus shining through you? Because Jesus had enemies. We should have enemies. The devil doesn't like you. And people don't like you. And I know sometimes you don't like you. David was a young man after God's own heart. He pleased the Lord, yet with a few faults like his, it never stopped him from loving God and God loving him. The oil of God never runs dry. But when a shepherd pours oil over the sheep, it's basically an insect repellent. It's to keep the insects off of them. And it keeps flies from laying eggs. God's oil takes care of you. Takes care of all your little annoyances that may happen. All those little pesky things in your life. The oil of God keeps the enemy and those little irritants away. But not everyone is like David. Now again, you may have a few Sauls in your life. Saul, we know Saul, King Saul. First king in Israel. He reigned for 42 years. Can you imagine Saul saying, Lord, you prepare a table before the presence of my enemies? God would be like, Saul, incline thy ear. You became impatient and offered sacrifices to me at Gilgal instead of waiting for prophet Samuel. You disobeyed my commandment and failed to carry out the law of total destruction of the conquered enemy. The spirit of God left you and was replaced by an evil spirit, which tormented you and made you like a madman. You were jealous of David for his success as a warrior. You tried to kill my servant. You tried to stop the one that I anointed to take your place. You massacred the Gibeonites contrary to the oath taken during the time of Joshua. You committed sin and necromancy and when you consulted a medium after the death of Samuel. Saul, I can't prepare a table before the presence of your enemy is because you are your enemy. He did everything. You talk about somebody who would do everything they could to just basically, I don't want this anymore. He did it. So when you get to the place to where you're trying to kill what God has established in someone else's life, I would say you're on the wrong path. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It says, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Shepherds may have sheepdogs that may keep them, keep the sheep from wandering off. The Father has his sheepdogs. In other verses, we'll say goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy are his sheepdogs for you because they'll follow you. They'll pursue you. You ever wonder why somebody would fall and miss it or do something to you, and you're like, okay, why is all these good things still happening to them? Goodness and mercy. That's our God. Because when you do it to someone else, you will want his goodness and mercy. He doesn't show favoritism like that. It's a good reason why we're not God. Because we know we would be cutting people off every day of the week. They run us off the road or what have you. Yep, you're done. Get out of here. You go see my angels. You're done. God places life and death before you, and he tells you to choose life so that you and your descendants may live, not just in this life, but in the life to come. You can change your generation, your family, your history, when you choose life. Proverbs 10:11 says this, the words of the godly are life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Basically, what you want people to do for you, do for them. As simple as that is, you do for them. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living and powerful. So, you have your choice. You can either confess God's word over your life, prophesy over yourself and over your kids, or you can rehearse hurts and then begin to destroy your life. Which one are you going to choose? Easy choice, but when we allow our feelings and emotions to govern us, we begin to choose the death one. We begin to sow seeds of death. Again, you'll be justified by what you say. You'll be condemned. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Pastor Tim, you think you know everything. You think you... No, listen, I'm never going to stop learning. I don't know everything. I don't know everything in the Bible. Believe it or not, I don't. But I won't ever stop learning. And I learn more every single day. I'm going to learn more tonight than I ever had. I'm going to learn more tomorrow than I ever had. But see, you got to understand, sometimes we think it's about experience and the years that people put in. But in reality, even Job knew this, or Elihu. Get Job 32. He knew this, and this was before the word even came out. He says, Job's three friends now fell silent. They were talked out, stymied, because Job wouldn't budge an inch, wouldn't admit to any ounce of guilt. Then Elihu lost his temper. Elihu was the son of Barachel, the Buzite from the clan of Ram. He blazed out in anger against Job for pitting his righteousness against God's. He was also angry with the three friends because they had neither come up with an answer nor proved Job wrong. Elihu had waited with Job while they spoke because they were all older than he. The wisdom of that. But when he saw that the three other men had exhausted their arguments, he exploded with pent-up anger. This is what Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, said. I'm a young man and you are all old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. But I see I was wrong. It's what? God's spirit in a person. The breath of the Almighty One that makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I've decided to speak up. Listen well. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And sometimes we think experience is the key. The wiser, older the wiser. It's the spirit of a young 13-year-old kid can tell you something that you never heard. Why? Because the spirit of God living inside of them. But sometimes we just want to brush them off. But yeah, Jesus says, bring them here. It's the spirit of God in a person. Now, I don't discredit because I'm kind of old school. I like learning from the old generation because you kind of learn what not to do and what to do and how they carry themselves and the holiness that they walk in. I love that. I like that. But it's also the spirit of God in a person. See, I'm not petty. I'm not saying I know more than you. well, I can't be taught. No. Here's the thing. You just can't tell me what I'd done when you weren't there. I was there. So instead of correcting me based upon what someone else told you, why don't you correct me based upon what I shared with you? If there needs to be correction. And vice versa, anywhere else. Like we talked about with the triangulation stuff. How is somebody who wasn't there going to try to correct you over something you didn't say? That's crazy. But yet we do this all the time. Why? Petty life. So don't get caught up in it. Sow seeds of life. If this nation would start sowing seeds of life, you start seeing some different things going on. Pastor Tim, you like politics? No. Why? Because it's laced with narcissism. Jezebel. I don't like political stuff. Does that mean I'm going to talk about it or not going to talk about it, not watch it, what have you? I watch very little. All they're doing is lying. And then they have the audacity to say, oh, I never said that. We got you archived on YouTube. Yes, you did. So let's not be a congregation, a church that is constantly trying to sow division, but we're walking in the fullness of what God has for us, because you know what's chasing us now? Goodness and mercy. If you fall, get back up. Don't dwell on it. The enemy will try to make you dwell on it. If you fall, get back up. Dust you off. Come on, we got some more work to do. It ain't over yet. You happy? Yeah, but still more work to be done. So celebrate. Celebrate. Roe v. Wade, celebrate. That's an awesome thing. Hands that shed innocent blood, God hates. He hates. But on the other side of that, he also hates a lying tongue. I live by four principles. I won't lie. I will never have anyone lie for me. I'll never lie for anyone else. And I'll never submit to a false narrative about myself. So it don't matter what people say about me. I just know they won't say it to my face. They might get throat punched. By the love of God. Amen? Let's stand up. No, you won't get throat punched. Been telling Brandon, I'm trying to stop saying that, but it's just, the punchline is just really good all the time. I'll give you a hug. Sow seeds of life, not death. Because when you sow life, you're going to reap life. When you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. But when you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. That happens. It happens. Does God still love you? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it keeps you from doing things you shouldn't be doing. So you know we ain't going to do it perfectly. Hallelujah. You're on your way. You're on your way. Stay connected. Surround yourself with friends. That's going to build you up. When you begin to start sharing your faith with people, they'll start scattering. They'll start leaving because of the fact is they don't want to change, but you're wanting to change. Stay bold with it. You're kind of a protector, aren't you? Is he kind of like that? I said, yeah. Got a good heart. Amen. Got the muscles to prove it too. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here with some back pain right now? So it isn't just me. It's you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with your back? And then there's two over there. Over there. Huh?
Bone on bone.
Bone on bone. So the cartilage is gone?
Yes.
But we just speak to that back right now and we command cartilage to grow. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for healing. In his back right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you created him with cartilage. So we speak life into his back right now in the name of Jesus. And these two ladies over here, we thank you that your backs are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Richard, you believe that?
I believe.
Do you receive?
I receive.
Then act. Act on it. Act on it. Rhonda, what's wrong with you? You had a spider bite? Did you kill it? The poison doesn't want to go? Well, the poison doesn't have a right to be in your body. So we speak to that poison in your body right now and we command it to leave. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is in you, covers you, has washed you clean, Lord. And the greater one lives on the inside of you. So we command that poison to leave your body, that it will not have any kind of effect on you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the swelling going down as well. In Jesus' name. Anyone been having mental issues? I know you may not want to confess that. Ask your family. That's good. No. Anybody been having heart trouble? Maybe it's online. Father God, we just thank you for healing the mental health in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that that person who's watching, who is listening right now, Lord, that you are healing them right now, that you are restoring, renewing his mind, restoring his mind back to normal. Not back to normal, better than normal, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for those heart issues. Has nothing to do with Jezebel's spirit. Just has to do with heart issues. We thank you for a strong heart. We thank you for those valves opening up. That you won't need a stent. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for these people being here. Thank you for your children. And thank you that we can walk in the boldness that you have given us, Lord. And it isn't about pointing out fingers to anyone else. Father God, we've missed it over and over and over again, Lord. But we yield ourselves to the good shepherd, the one who will help keep us from harm. That will anoint our oil, our head with oil, to keep those insects, those repellents, or those tyrants of the enemy that they may try to come after us with. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, which follows us all the days of our life. I'm not wanting to close. Robert, come here. Thank you for being obedient. See, I didn't call it out, and you coming over here limping. I didn't even watch it. What's wrong with you?
I got a partial torn Achilles.
Partial torn Achilles. How'd you do that?
No idea.
You play any sports?
Not right now.
Father God, we just speak to this Achilles right now. Partially torn, we call it fully healed. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for strength. To the soles of your feet, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. Is your right leg right? Pick it up. Move it around. In the name of Jesus. Does that hurt?
Not like it did.
It doesn't hurt like it did? Let me see you walk. Walking a little better? You just got the big guy walk like me.
Yeah.
We kind of walk a little out. Feels better? This is going to be a real test right here. Tiptoes. That hurt? If it tries to come back, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Confess it over you. Speak life. Don't say, oh, it's back. It didn't work. Those are seeds of death. Seeds of life. Say what God says about you. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Your name, which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord, and we just thank you. And we give you praise. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.